Good evening, everyone. Edwin Lee Raymer here with you at good old WGNS. We have got a wide range of topics we're going over tonight. Miss Laura Bowling has been good enough to join me here this evening. And we're going to go over some state stuff and legislation that may be passed, may not. And please bear with us because this can take us in a hundred different directions. So anyway.
Especially with you, Ed.
Especially with me, yes, of course.
Okay. Just saying.
Anyway, we're going to be here for the next hour trying to make some sense of some of this legislation that's down at the state capitol right now. Of course, everything's in session. And, everything from guns to broadband, internet to, well, you name it, roads and bridges. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I am a private investigator. Forgot where was I for a minute. Welcome aboard.
You're tuned in to the PI program, Tips and Tales from licensed longtime private investigator Edwin Lee Raymer, taking your phone calls and text messages at 615-893-1450 on the PI program.
All right, Dalton Barron on the board as usual. Thank you. As I said, Miss Laura Bowling is joining us here, and this is the PI Show with me, Edwin Lee Raymer, and this broadcast is produced at the studios of WGNS AM 1450 and 100.5 on 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You can reach us tonight by telephone or text. You can send a text to this number as well. Dalton will read it to us, and we'll read it over there. If you don't want to go on the air live, we understand. 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. You can message me on Facebook, as many of you do, at Private Investigations of Middle Tennessee, or just plain old Ed Raymer on Facebook. And you can send me a text on my personal phone, 615-390-7219. Our email address is privateinvest@bellsouth.net. As I said, Mr. Dalton Barrett's on the board. Miss Laura Bowling, haven't seen you in a while.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, huh?
I am fantastic.
What all's been going on in your little world? I know you've been to Salt Lake City.
Yes, yes. Traveled there to visit my daughter. She lives in Provo and had a wonderful time and saw real snow.
Saw real snow, right.
So, yeah, that happened.
Now, because we've had some extremely warm temperatures here. What was it like out there?
It was about 20s, 20s daily.
Pretty well normal for that.
Pretty much so. Yeah. And it just snowed towards the end of our trip, so that made it pretty nice.
Good, good. Everybody made it home.
Yeah, we
in
made it home.
In one piece? Good.
Yeah.
Now, you drive or you flew out?
Oh,
you
fly. It's a 2,500 okay. Or yeah. 2,500 mile drive.
I kind of figured that.
Yeah,
that would. Silly question. But,
yeah, taking a little bit too much time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would take 2 or 3 days. That's just stayed on the road totally.
I mean, yes,
you wouldn't have any time to spend.
You can do, I've driven straight to Vegas once really? Before, but it was a 24-hour drive, literally. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, I can't. No, it's like a guy drove in one time from, they went to Key West, Florida. Good friend of ours. He lived up in McMinnville. And so they decided they was going to save money and just drive straight home.
Yeah.
Lived in McMinnville. He got out of the car and just walked in his house in the clothes he had on and just plopped in the bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was there for like 9 or 10 hours before he knew what was going on. I mean, he said it just nearly wore him out.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
When you're in the Keys, it's that's a long jaunt. I mean, just get to the end of the Keys anyway.
Right.
And we've
right.
been there before, and there's really nothing there.
Exactly. But, exactly.
So, you know, what's been going on other than that? What do you?
Well, I think one of the exciting things that I'm doing is helping out the Rutherford County Democratic Party. I am chairing their Legislative Action Committee.
Right.
And, of course, the party and myself are always looking for members on that committee. What we are doing is actually looking for individuals who live in each state representative district.
Right.
And members who live in each of the county commission districts.
Right.
So that we can actually start following our legislators very specifically, following the committees that they're on.
Right.
Because that's really where the work gets done, in those committees.
Right. Yeah.
And making sure that we talk to our legislators, one, either about sponsoring legislation we'd like them to sponsor, or not sponsoring legislation that we believe to be harmful
Understood. We're going to get into it some more. Dalton, we're going to go to our first break here. From our good friends at J. Mullins Jewelers and Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits, you are listening to the P.I. Show with me, Edwin Lee Raymer. Laura Bowling is good enough to join me tonight. Back with you in 2 minutes. You know, Jeff Mullins is a multi-generational family-owned jewelry store. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry, gold, diamond, and gemstone jewelry, silver jewelry, also offering a huge selection of watches from Luminex, Citizen, Seiko, Pulsar, gifts for any and all occasions. And also, expert jewelry repair by Jeff's dad, Mr. Charles Mullins. I can't tell you the number of times he's fixed watches for me. New batteries, bracelets adjusted, all of the whole nine yards. Visit their website at www.jmullinsjewelry.com, or you can go see them in person there at the store at 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Or you can give them a call at 615-962-7164. That's 615-962-7164. And again, that website is jmullinsjewelry.com. Right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry. Again, gold, diamond, gemstone jewelry. Check them out.
Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits, the finest selection of wines in this county, maybe even the entire state. Did you know that Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has their own wine cellar? Their address is 3016 South Church Street here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, also known to us locals as Shelbyville Highway or Highway 231. Located in the IGA Shopping Center, phone number is 615-907-9000. Ted Robertson and his family, and we do mean family-owned. Spotlessly clean store with the friendliest and most knowledgeable staff. You know what goes with this, what wine goes with that. Call Ted and arrange a wine tasting for your office or party. And Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has got what you need. And we beg all of you, do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. And if you do drink, please drink responsibly. And don't forget to check out their website, MurfreesboroWineAndSpirits.com.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
All right. Thank you, Dalton Barrett. We are back. Excuse me, my voice is wanting to fail me tonight, so that, bear with me, folks, okay? WGNS here, Edwin Lee Raymer, the PI Show, joined by Ms. Laura Bowling. Laura, take us into this broadband thing, and is there any legislation that you found? You've been here about an hour. I didn't know. Is anyone sponsoring anything to help these kids out in rural areas? And explain to the folks what it is.
Well, right now we have underserved rural areas in our state. And by underserved, we are saying that they don't have a high enough broadband speed to upload or download information from the internet. And we have areas in Rutherford County that that hit that. And certainly counties like Bedford County, Marshall County, those areas as well hit that underserved category.
Right. Yeah.
In looking at what is already filed, because, of course, it's early in that process.
Sure.
So not a lot of legislation has been filed. But I found a couple of filings from Senator Green, Senate Bill 22 and Senate Bill 126, both of them entitled I've lost it. Bear with me one moment.
No problem.
Tennessee Rural Broadband Grant Expansion Program. I don't see any co-sponsors on either of these pieces of legislation yet.
That is not unusual.
No, it's not unusual at this point. But hopefully, hopefully we get somebody on the House side to pick that up. There's nothing on the House side yet. And it would be great to see our county state senators that represent our county getting on to that. This would help provide grants for public-private partnerships and would provide the education for those rural areas to get high-speed broadband internet. The reason this is a problem is that...
Because of the carriers themselves.
Well, it's because of the carriers. Let's first say the reason this is important is not to be able to watch TV. I mean,
right.
That's not what we're talking about.
You're not going home to watch Bugs Bunny.
This is because we have a huge push for online education.
Right.
When you look at Tennessee's push for college expansion, they are in the Western Governors University program,
right.
And that's an all online system. You look at our county education system, and many of the required courses no longer have textbooks available. Or they are doing predominantly all their work online.
Right.
That means,
right.
I know there was one constituent that I spoke with when I was running for office, that his sons had to do their homework at school during lunch and recess because they didn't have access to the high-speed internet that they needed in order to do their homework. So we're talking about very real-world situations that this necessary.
Well,
and right now it's a state law, it's a restriction that
right.
city entities cannot expand out of their city limits.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they want to, they cannot expand outside of their city limits to offer that broadband expansion. So hopefully this gets some teeth and somebody in the House picks this up. I know Tim Rudd, who was elected District 34 state rep, congratulations Tim, that he had mentioned in our debate on
right.
WGNS
mm-hmm.
that he
right.
would sponsor something if it was proposed. It'd be great if he talked with Senator Green and looked at...
Try to get on board.
Trying to get on board right. and trying to get that in the House.
And the reason being, folks, and I've got to tell you, I'm from old school. I didn't know until... Well, last year during a campaign, and this came up, Stephen Reynolds discussed it here before. So many of our kids, everything is going to an online basis. I mean, a lot of their books, their work, and they're going to be left behind if somebody doesn't get on the ball and do something for these
well,
kids
absolutely.
In rural areas.
Absolutely. And it's really, it makes sense
sure.
for textbooks to go online because textbook manufacturers change them so frequently.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Information changes. We learn new information about a scientific finding. History changes in
right.
and of itself.
Right.
Those kinds of things change. And so buying textbooks over and over and over again is not economical. So it makes sense.
It never has been.
Yeah,
right.
Let's put it online. Then the updates can be updated when they are needed. But it puts those rural kids at a disadvantage.
Right.
And creates this division where it's a challenge for them to become successful. And it's when we on the left side of the aisle talk
right.
about
yeah.
privilege. I've had a lot of conversation about this recently. We're not talking about privilege that makes you immediately more abundant.
Right.
We're talking
yeah.
about something that creates a disparity simply because of who you are.
Right.
Whether
and where
it's
you, and where you live.
It's yeah. where you live. And those kids are living right. where they live because their families live where they live.
Sure.
They
right.
don't have the ability. That's where when you don't have ability to change your circumstance,
right.
that's
yeah.
where privilege comes in. Or the lack of privilege happens.
Sure.
So
yeah.
if you're a person of color, you don't have an opportunity to change that. Or you're a child of someone in a living
right,
rural community,
right.
you don't have an opportunity to change that either.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
we've got to even that playing field a little bit.
Well, I remember we moved here, as I've told you before, from Western Kentucky in 1980.
Right.
And somewhere, and this is, of course, this is back before internet and all that, okay? I mean, we're back Stone Ages as far as we're concerned now. But they were talking about some textbooks here in Middle Tennessee that some schools had, that even some of their history books that read, "One Day We Hope to Put a Man on the Moon."
Oh, my gosh.
This was in the 80s.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's what they were. That's what they had. And 69 is when Neil Armstrong first walked on the moon.
Yeah.
So we were looking at 11, 12 years later, and they had a textbook that
right.
actually said that. I don't know if I read it in the paper or saw it on news, whatever it was. I thought, man, that's you know, that's a little bit far behind.
Right.
So this is not anything new.
No, it's not.
Getting information to our students.
No.
You know.
And technology has moved so quickly.
True.
I mean, when we first moved here, we didn't have a cell phone. That was 17
sure.
years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Because that wasn't something that folks had.
Right. Now everybody's got one.
I'm sitting here looking up the internet on my cell phone while we're talking.
Right.
So we need to give an opportunity for all of our Rutherford County school students to be successful.
Sure.
And that's what this broadband expansion is
now, looking towards. Now, is Rutherford County, aren't our students pretty well covered? Do they have, excuse me, here, has everybody got access to this, or do we have some areas of the county where they don't?
We do have some areas out in rural Rockvale, out in the Midland area, right. that get too far out for it to be economical for an AT&T or a Comcast
True.
To move out there. And it's kind of like a chicken and the egg kind of thing.
I know.
Yeah. Because more people would move out there if there were more services.
Sure.
But
right.
more services won't move there because there aren't enough people out there.
Right.
So somebody has to...
It's the dog chasing its tail.
Right. Yeah. Somebody has to take a risk. Somebody has to do something to make it more desirable to be out there. But frankly, we have folks living out there right now.
Well,
and we have students in our school systems that are living out
have,
there.
We have our family farm, which is still up in Western Kentucky. There's nothing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has to have either a satellite dish or you're just
right.
going to get it.
Right.
You
know. And like,
I don't understand because it's just a wire.
Right. And for example, I mean, this particular constituent that I talked with, he does have some service. He has a limitation on the speed and the access of a certain number of hours. So he, when he was relaying the story to me, he invites all the neighborhood kids over. They all do their homework at his house.
Really?
Until he runs out of the number of hours. So that's about a week of time that he has.
Sure.
And the rest of the 3 weeks, they've got to do it at recesses and lunches. So,
wow.
you know, there are people trying to make it work.
Right.
But it's still really difficult to
make
it work.
Well, and I'm sure it can be disgusting to the teachers as well.
Well, yeah, it's got to be frustrating.
You know, and everybody needs to get on board with this. We're talking about an issue here that affects all of our children.
Right,
you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So, what bill was that you mentioned? Which one was it?
There's two submissions right now. Like I said, it's early in the session, so I don't know which one's going to go forward. And there's nothing on the House side yet that I could see. Senate Bill 22 or Senate Bill 126, if folks want to look that up at tennessee.gov.
Right. And it's all there. It's
yeah.
There. I looked up some lines. We've
yeah.
got them right here on the desk in front of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look that up, folks. And because I didn't know, I would have thought, I would have figured every student in Rutherford County had access. I mean, no
well,
problem.
Well, you know, no technically problem. You can say they have access because they can do it at school.
Well,
or
I know,
do it
but
at
I'm talking
library.
About at their home. You know,
yeah,
I would have, with all the growth and the success we've had.
Right.
And this is an infrastructure. Problem.
It is an infrastructure issue. Yes,
yes.
absolutely.
So it's not all about roads and bridges, folks. It's about
right.
other things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. We're getting ready to go to our next break. If I can get Dalton Barrett in here. Yes. All right. We missed Laura Bowling's with us. We're going to jump off into another subject and try to keep this thing on the rails. Evan Lee Raymer with you. The PI Show. Back with you in 2 minutes.
Keeping the pulse of our community, First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Man on the Street Report. This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. When you do your banking at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, we take pride in knowing you, knowing your name, and we strive to provide you with the greatest customer service experience. We know your name. We offer you a cup of hot coffee and a warm cookie. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We know our customer. Member FDIC.
I'm Dalton Barrett, News Radio WGNS's Man on the Street, and I wanted to know what you thought we could do to help the homeless students in our local schools.
We can give back to the homeless students. They will very so much like it. We become friends with them and help them and take care of them.
I think we can help the homeless students in our school systems by being a safe haven, being a place that they can come to let us know they need help without any prejudice or discriminating actions or thoughts towards them, just letting them know that there's a need, that we're wanting to help them in that need, and just getting them to understand that we're approaching them with love and trust. We see them as equal as us, just someone who needs a helping hand. I think the approach is the way to go, more of the approach of not enabling someone but helping someone through a difficult time.
Homeless students that are in school can definitely be helped by free and reduced lunch, making sure that they have a hot meal while they're there, knowing that they won't get one at home because, you know, they don't have a home to go home to.
Those were your opinions, and with that, I'm Dalton Barrett, your man on the street.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
All right. Thank you, Dalton Barrett. Edwin Lee Raymer here with you, the PI show. Miss Laura Bowling has been good enough to join me tonight. Thanks again for being here.
Absolutely.
I want to go into something. We're not going to delve on this too much, but we felt like it was something that needs to be brought into today's edition of USA Today, the Tennessean. The first online petition to Trump, release your tax returns. This is by Gregory Court from USA Today. The transition team gutted most of the Obama White House website, but left one innovative feature intact. We the People petition site that, quote, empowers the American public to take this section like never before. The first petition of the Trump era. Immediately released Donald Trump's full tax returns with all information needed to verify Emoluments Clause compliance. Release of his tax returns is not required by law, but Trump defies 40 years of tradition by refusing to voluntarily release his. The petition had over 135,000 signatures by early Saturday. Only 100,000 were needed to require an official response. This will be interesting to see where this goes. We have a caller right now. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Ed, this is Marty. I got a question, but first of all, I want to say I don't have a dog in this fight because I've got ample service.
Right.
But what he was talking about, I don't know a lot about what they call hot spots that you can buy from Sprint or Verizon or AT&T or whoever.
Right.
But I know a lot of my friends have these little square things, and they call them hot spots, and they can pick up service no matter where they are.
Right.
And I just, you know about those?
Yes. That's specifically.
By the way, hi, Laura. I'm enjoying your show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. That's actually specifically what this particular person uses. But after a particular point in time, most telephone companies throttle down your speed. And when you're looking at some of the online homework that's required, it takes a high-speed internet access to actually do that stuff with flash and video that's needed to watch to actually finish that homework. So that's what he was specifically talking about. He does have a hotspot that he uses, but after a certain point of time or certain transfer amount, digital transfer amount, it throttles down that speed, and it makes it near impossible to get done what they need to get done.
And by the way, Marty, if you're listening, I hope you're, well, I know you are. Dalton hung up. He thought you were finished, so don't take any offense there, please. Dalton, you wanted to mention something about this.
Just a little something about the hotspots. It basically works the same way as your internet on your cell phone.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, you have your data and you can go over and that stuff. But not only that, it also goes in the same way as it doesn't work everywhere.
Right.
You have wherever, if you're in between two towers and you're right stuck in the middle, you don't have any service.
Right.
Right. And not all of these places that need that are in the right location to just be able to use a hotspot. So that's another big part of it, is that's not going to be an option for everyone.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Marty, thank you for the call. Hope you're doing well, having a good new year here. We're still in January. Hard to believe. But as I was saying, this is the first online petition to the new president to release his tax returns. And I don't know how everybody feels about this. If I was president, I would release mine. I feel the country needs to know. Laura?
Well, I think Kellyanne Conway already has stated that because of the election and Donald Trump's victory, they are not going to release the taxes. That issue has been decided based on the fact that he won the election.
That's nothing to do with it.
Well, no, I'm just repeating what was said.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions about the relationships that a lot of the cabinet appointments he's making have as well. I mean, you look at Betsy DeVos and their efforts in Michigan to change the education system from a public-based system to a private charter or voucher-based system without accountability. I think one of the big things that when we look at a charter or a voucher system, our charter and voucher systems throughout the country predominantly do not have the same accountability as our public school systems.
Right.
Now, is the accountability over the top in some places? Yeah, it may be. But when a charter school closes and those charter school students haven't met the basic standards of a public school student, and then they're back assumed back into that public school, and they're behind again, we are putting kids at a disadvantage, and we can't do that.
Well, I think this lady has floated the idea that we're just going to do away with the school systems nationwide altogether. You can't do that. That's a monument.
Well,
I think
Reagan was the first person. I mean, did the education department started in Carter's administration and Reagan?
That I do not know.
And Reagan proposed eliminating it and was thwarted by his own Congress. So, you know, this has been around a while. And, and there is certainly, I would say that the Obama administration did some horrible things with expanding the and creating inefficiency in our education system.
Okay.
So they're not to be lauded for what they did in the race to the top concepts and things like that. But to simply eliminate a public school process option when 91% of our kids are in public school.
Right. Yeah.
It's not the way to look at things. You know, rolling back some of these invasive administrative processes that take administrators and teachers away from the job of actually teaching our children.
Right.
That's what we need to look at, as opposed to just taking the money away from the school district, putting it in vouchers and or charter schools that don't have any accountability. That's the big issue.
Sure.
When you start that charter process in a school district, or you create vouchers in a school district, you're removing that money from the public school system. So if the public school system is challenged in some way or not doing well in some way, taking the money away from it isn't going to help it.
Sure.
It's going to make it harder for the people who care about that school to make a difference.
Well, and here, you know, it seems like every administration has dealt with this in some way. Throw some terms at Common Core.
Right.
No Child Left Behind. I'm sure many more.
Yeah.
I'm just talking off the top
of my
head.
Race to the top. Yeah.
Race to the top. Yeah, all that. And it sounds so good, but that's not as easily implemented as people might think. So
no,
it's
absolutely not.
You're talking about this is a huge structure we've got just here in the state, and well, right here in Middle Tennessee alone. I don't know. How many high schools do we have now? What, five?
What? Six? No, we have 11.
11, okay. I was thinking something else. I mean, I'm sorry. Not high schools now.
I'm talking about high school, too.
Really? When did that happen?
You might want to drive around the county a little
bit,
honey.
I'm sorry. Automatically, I rule out Laverne and Smyrna. I'm talking. You're just hearing.
Oh.
You know, and I don't mean to do.
Marty,
that.
You should call back in.
No, Marty.
Just say.
Okay, we're going to go to our next break here at 31 minutes past the hour, and I'm going to familiarize myself with some of the schools in Rutherford County. Evan Lee Raymer with you, the PI Show. Laura Bowling's with us. Back at you in 2 minutes. You know, Jeff Mullins is a multi-generational family-owned jewelry store. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry, gold, diamond, and gemstone jewelry, silver jewelry, also offering a huge selection of watches from Luminex, Citizen, Seiko, Pulsar, gifts for any and all occasions. And also, expert jewelry repair by Jeff's dad, Mr. Charles Mullins. I can't tell you the number of times he's fixed watches for me. New batteries, bracelets adjusted, all of the whole nine yards. Visit their website at www.jmullinsjewelry.com, or you can go see them in person there at the store at 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Or you can give them a call at 615-962-7164. That's 615-962-7164. And again, that website is jmullinsjewelry.com. Right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts. Excellent selection of bridal jewelry. Again, gold, diamond, gemstone jewelry. Check them out.
Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits. The finest selection of wines in this county, maybe even the entire state. Did you know that Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has their own wine cellar? Their address is 3016 South Church Street here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, also known to us locals as Shelbyville Highway or Highway 231. Located in the IGA Shopping Center, phone number is 615-907-9000. Ted Robertson and his family, and we do mean family-owned. Spotlessly clean store with the friendliest and most knowledgeable staff. You know what goes with this, what wine goes with that. Call Ted and arrange a wine tasting for your office or party. And Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has got what you need. And we beg all of you, do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. And if you do drink, please drink responsibly. And don't forget to check out their website, MurfreesboroWineAndSpirits.com.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
All right. Evan Lee Raymer, the PI show with you. Dalton's on the board. Miss Laura Bowling. Okay.
Hello.
Glad to have you with us.
Thanks, man.
And, okay. Let's talk about more of the infrastructure and gas tax.
Okay.
Now, I believe, and I stand corrected, the governor's wanting a 12-cent increase
per
gallon.
I think that's it, yeah.
The insight section today, our view in the Tennessean, January 22nd, 2017. And just, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I don't want to do that. But it's got here on the front page of the insight section, bold and responsible. Tennessee cannot afford to ignore its roadways any longer without compromising its impressive economic gains of recent years. Unemployment has steadily been falling. Wages have been rising. Tourism is at an all-time high. And the state coffers boast a $2 billion budget surplus. Meanwhile, there exists the albatross of a $10.5 billion backlog of road projects and the revenue source to address it. The gas tax provides enough money only for maintenance but not construction. Laura, what do you think?
Well, just having come from Salt Lake.
Okay, good.
I can tell you our roads are a dream as far as maintenance is concerned compared to Salt Lake.
Really?
It was a nightmare. Now, obviously, they get a lot more snow. They have a lot more ice,
sure.
a lot more things like that. But I'm hard-pressed to see the actual need. If we have a surplus, to continue to raise taxes. Now, somebody's going to have to convince me otherwise on that particular concept.
Right.
And I think when we talked earlier, I think when we talk about surplus, we are listening to what Kellyanne Conway termed today as alternative facts.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and we've touched on this program about this. You and Justin Miller were here some months
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. If we have a 10 point whatever billion dollar
backlog, right,
then we don't have a surplus.
Right.
If we are not funding our schools, according to the comptroller's office, we're underfunding them at $500 million to $800 million, depending on which analysis you use. We don't have a surplus. We have poor budgeting by our current elected officials. And so what have we been doing for the past how many years that has created a 10 point whatever billion dollar
backlog?
That means what we're saying is we actually haven't been doing our deferred maintenance planning.
Right.
We haven't been doing what we're supposed to be doing on a regular annual basis. We've just been blowing it off and running on this fact that we have a surplus.
Well, that's what all the candidates, and you and I spoke about this back in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
They were all running. We've got a surplus.
We've got a surplus.
But what do you use? Alternative facts?
Yes.
Is that what you're calling it? That's the new term?
That's the new term. And we've got, I mean, Senator Tracy is on the Senate Transportation and Safety Committee.
Right.
Senator Tracy, what have you been doing?
Right.
What's been happening in our legislature that prohibits them from holding accountable our transportation department for not doing their job? Because that's basically what they're saying. I get the idea that $1986 dollars are not the same as 2016 dollars. I get that.
Understood.
Because of the crazy money system in the Federal Reserve. That's a whole other rabbit hole we could get down.
Sure.
But why haven't we been doing it on an annual basis?
Well, the gas tax, it says here in this article, has not been increased. Right now is 21.4 cents per gallon, but it's not been increased since 1989.
No, it hasn't. That's true. And certainly our legislators haven't taken into account the idea that our federal legislators have required higher gas mileage. So now we are spending less money filling up our gas tanks. So not only has the dollar been devalued, but the actual usage has been devalued. So again, not planning well. But I come back to the fact that if we've got a $1 billion surplus, a $2 billion, spend the money, and start catching up,
right?
And then show the people. Don't tell me, show me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then say, okay, we are actually taking action on this backlog. We really still need more money.
Well, I think one of our biggest examples right here in Murfreesboro is the bridge over Broad.
Right, right.
That idea was kicked around for years.
Absolutely.
And I know it's a pain. Right? Construction is always a pain when it goes on. But when it's done, everybody's going to say, man, look here. Man, this is great.
You know? Exactly.
And it will have a positive benefit. But it's been like drawing teeth. The two biggest words that, you know, you can't use with a politician can't use is tax increase. They just don't want to talk
definitely
about
it. Definitely not. And, we've got folks that are proposing, because we have the surplus, let's lower taxes. Well, I'd love to see the grocery tax lowered. Absolutely.
Sure,
because
sure.
That's a tax on individual people.
Right. Okay. We'll be back, folks. We're going to go to our break here. And with Laura Bowling has been good enough to join me this weekend, Dalton Barrett's on the board, Edmund Lee Raymer, back with you on the other side of this break.
AFBF sets path for Farm Bill recommendations. Hello and welcome, everyone, for Tennessee Home and Farm Radio. I'm Lee Max. Now, with President Trump and Congress in place, Farm Bureau leaders will be pushing the debate further for what needs to be included in a new farm bill. Michael Clements reports.
At the 2017 American Farm Bureau Federation Annual Convention, 350 delegates set a path for farm policy recommendations in the next farm bill. AFBF Senior Director of Congressional Relations Mary Kay Thatcher says Farm Bureau members are taking the first step to address farm policy concerns.
They believe that we ought to point out the problem areas that we had in the farm bill, but not necessarily box AFBF into a corner on what the answers were, because it's probably a little bit early and there are a lot of issues where it probably requires more economic analysis and more thought and discussion about where we ought to go. So a good overview of the concerns and a good direction that we've set, but no specific policies for most things.
She says Farm Bureau members recognize the need of keeping farm and nutrition policy together in the Farm Bill.
The fact is, especially in the House of Representatives, when you have probably 100 of the 435 members that have zero farmers in their district, there just isn't enough support for an agriculture-only bill. And it's the marriage between farm policy and nutrition that gets both of those bills passed and in good shape.
With hearings or listening sessions starting as early as next month, Thatcher says AFBF will continue analyzing important issues.
We have three or four issues that we feel like we really need to do a deeper dive into: the ARC County program, the dairy program, generic acres, and the Conservation Reserve program. So we'll be trying to do a deeper dive into those and come up with some recommendations for our board and trying to help farmers and our leaders get ready to testify before the House and Senate Ag Committees about the upcoming Farm Bill.
Michael Clements, Washington.
For Tennessee Home and Farm Radio, I'm Lee Maddox.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymond.
All right, back with Laura Bowling. Edwin Lee Raymond with you with the PI show. Had a little event that took place yesterday that Miss Laura thinks is noteworthy, and so do I. The Women's March. And from what we were talking, anywhere from 2 million to what, 5 million, depending on who you listen to,
right.
Nationwide. Not only Washington.
Absolutely not.
But a big movement that is probably, unfortunately, might be the biggest story of the weekend.
I think so. There's been a lot of other issues that have been talked about this
sure.
weekend, and certainly we've got some horrible weather that hit in Georgia and Mississippi. But, when you have a movement that creates action. I've seen a lot of folks talk down upon the process. They're not really doing anything. They're just walking around. But we're talking about North Dakota, Idaho.
And it's cold in North Dakota right now.
Anchorage, Alaska had about 1,000 people at a march, at a rally.
And there were men involved in this, too.
Absolutely.
Men and women. Both.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly women, but it was...
It started out as a women's march. It was an inclusive situation. It was about supporting... When you went out there, I was unfortunately unable to go because I was on a plane coming back from Salt Lake City. But when you were out there or when you were supporting somebody, it wasn't just for women. And it certainly wasn't completely against Donald Trump. I know a lot of Trump supporters who went out as well because they support immigrants. They support the LGBT community. They support reproductive rights. There were many, many overarching issues. Black Lives Matter, people of color. So what I want to encourage folks is to, number one, stop wondering why people went out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And start looking at ways you can make a difference. And certainly I want to encourage those ladies and men who went out there to join us in the Rutherford County Democratic Party. If you're a Republican, join the Republican Party. Get involved in your party process.
True.
Because 2018, we will be electing new city councilmen. We will be electing all new commissioners.
All new county commissioners, yes.
We will be electing the mayor, the sheriff, the trustee, the county clerk, the register of deeds, and the circuit court clerk. all in 2018, and you'll have all your state reps up.
And we do have, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I've got something in my throat tonight. But Mike Fitchew was named interim sheriff to fill this out. This is finally behind us. The former sheriff pled guilty.
He did.
And this is out of the way. So, and I want to have him, Sheriff Fitchew, and I doubt he'd be listening right now. He's probably in bed trying to get some much-needed sleep. But we do want to have him on, even if he calls in, to just to welcome him aboard and let him know we're all behind him.
Absolutely.
Because it's been a mess out there. I'm not going to say it's been a nightmare, but it has seen better days. And especially the last two or three years have been very sketchy for those folks.
I can't even imagine the difficulty that has gone on in that department with all the turmoil, whatever side you were on. And to have some kind of resolution must bring some much-needed peace.
Agreed.
To those deputies, ma'am, so that they can actually focus on what is important, which is protecting the people of Rutherford County.
Right, and being friends with the people of Rutherford County. Instead of the people of Rutherford County looking at them as they're a potential problem, and they look at and I don't think any of them are actually doing this, but look at it, oh man, another call, here we go. Go out and have a positive attitude. We had something happen the other day, and I believe it was in Goodlettsville, where a man pulled a knife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it made the news. And I'm saying, goodness, I may be wrong, but somewhere in the Nashville area. Mm-hmm. And it went down, no incident. No one shot.
Great.
And
great.
Those officers handled that situation. And I'm sure it's because recently, I'm sure in the last couple of years, they've had some training.
Sure.
Because, they could have been within the right. I think the man had some mental issues.
Sure.
Obviously, if you're pulling a knife on a police officer, you've got something wrong with you. But, I mean, they could have shot him, And I don't. And but that they worked it out.
Isn't that kind of always the way it goes, though? In the sense that you have bad apples everywhere.
Sure.
I know people. I posted some pictures about the Women's March. And just the excitement of it, the energy of it, and how it brought so many different kinds of people together. Yeah. And somebody commented on my post that, these weren't peaceful marches. They were rioters. Well, no.
I didn't see any of that.
There were like 130 anarchists that rioted on the inauguration day.
Right, yeah.
But no one got arrested in Washington at the march.
Right.
But they got painted as rioters. And the same thing happens when you have bad cops, right?
Sure.
Yeah. All cops get looked at as questionable.
Right. Yeah. And it's the farthest thing from the truth.
Right.
Of the guys and gals I know, most of them, they're good people.
They just want to do a good job. Yeah.
They just want to do their job and go home to their families.
Absolutely. But we still got to do something about criminal justice reform. I should come back for that one.
Yeah. But, okay. But that is a situation that I wanted to bring up that, that was handled correctly. And that's good. We're seeing some positive things take place now. And, I don't know that any of the officers ever even pulled their weapon on a guy. He just had a knife. Just, they talked him down.
Good.
Settled down, and he gave up. They took him in. I think they're needing some treatment or something of that nature. He had, like I said, a history of mental illness and or something like that. I don't know. And, but that was good. That was a good story to see. And I felt very, very happy for those officers. First of all, that an officer didn't have to take a man's life.
Because
let me tell you something.
Exactly.
A lot of these people out here packing these guns, folks, I can take you to officers that have, one in particular that I knew, I don't know if he's still with the force here or not, and he had to take a man's life.
Mm.
And it haunted him the rest of his life. Because there's always that question, could I have done something different?
Sure.
That's a very, very heavy burden to bear. We're going to go to our last break, Dalton. And wake up. And Dalton Barrett's going to take us to a break. Laura Bowling's with us, and we're coming back for our final 8 minutes. Edmund Lee Raymer, the PI Show. Back in 2 minutes.
Clark Howard on WGNS. There's an old expression that doctors hate. It says, what do you call the person who was last in his or her medical class? Doctor. And the point is that in medicine, there's enormous gaps in quality from one provider to another, one place to another. There was an extensive survey written up in one of the medical journals that found that depending on the quality of a hospital in your metro area, you could go in with the same condition at one hospital versus another in your same metro area and be three times more likely to die of the condition that ails you at the worst hospital versus the best. It really does matter that you, or if you're not capable at the time, your family members do as much research as they can to find the best facility to treat what ails you, because not any old facility will do.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Yeah, our recent Irby's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
And couldn't be happier. It serves premier frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds, and the yogurt is delicious.
Yep, our customers absolutely love it. That's it over there.
Whoa, that's incredible. People really do love your Froyo robot. So, you own this?
Sure do. Recent Irby's Froyo robots are available across the country, and it's super easy. Recent Irby's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
And everyone loves frozen yogurt. That's incredible. How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
You just go to froyorobots.com and enter promo code 9494. But hurry, because locations and robots are going fast.
Froyo...
Yeah, froyorobots.com. Promo code 9494.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Rayner.
Ah, a little Aussie for you. Flying high again. The P.I. Show. We're into our last 8 minutes. Laura, before we go, I want to say thank you for agreeing to join.
You are welcome.
I appreciate you coming up. I'd like to have you here on a more regular basis.
Thank you.
With Jan Shepherd last week.
Okay.
And to keep up with this bunch down at the State House and sort of watch them. By the way, you said we lost two members from Rutherford County off of the Education Committee.
No, we just lost one.
One.
We had...
because Rick Womack was on it.
Rick Womack was on the committee, the Education Committee in the House. Tim Rudd is not on the Education Committee any longer. At least it's not listed there. He's on the House Insurance and Banking Committee, House State Government Committee, and the House Insurance Banking Subcommittee.
Okay.
So, you know, that change kind of lessens Rutherford County's influence on that committee.
And you said, you know, you mentioned earlier, I think we were off there, but the committees is where a lot of this work gets done.
Absolutely.
Gets hashed out.
Absolutely.
Regardless of which side of the aisle you're on.
It especially on our county commission level. I mean, our county committees are 7 members.
Right.
Our county commission is 21 people.
Mm-hmm.
They only need 4 more people to vote yes on something that comes out of committee for it to pass.
Right.
So definitely the work happens in committees.
I want to say something about that, too. Our county commission, if any of you ladies and gentlemen are listening tonight, thank you for going through this process of the electing of the new sheriff.
I
talked to Josh McCrary because I work for those guys, serving paper and doing some odds and ends for them. And it was just a relief. I think he said, just glad the process is over. And he was saddled with the responsibility of making sure this all was fair and above board and first and foremost legal.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Pettus Reed has joined us before here. He's out in Rockvale.
He's District 8. He's in my district.
Yeah.
He's my commissioner.
A fine man, and all these people are good people. I know several of them. I don't know many. Mayor Burgess does a fantastic job. Good man. Reasonable people. And they knew they were up against it. And for what it's worth, coming from me, I mean that, because I know they've been they've been through the ringer too, and they knew they were saddled with an issue that eventually they would have to decide who would be over the sheriff.
Right.
And Mr. Sheriff Fitzhugh said today in a paper I noticed in the Daily News Journal main thing is getting that jail recertified.
That is a big thing, yeah. And putting Salandy over there from the workhouse.
Right. I hear that's a good move.
It is a great move. He did so much amazing work at the workhouse.
Really? I don't know him.
He is a really good, fair person to work with. From working with him when I was the clerk.
Right.
Did some amazing things. Got some really very significant certifications at the workhouse as well.
Good.
So to have him there at the sheriff's office, I think, or at the jail, is going to be huge to get that.
Well, I think the new sheriff, he's bringing a lot of those people back.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's anything that's good that came out of this, I don't think we're going to see as many politics involved in sheriff's office as we had before.
I hope not.
I hope not.
I think that would be a bad yeah. idea.
Well, it has been.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything else, but what has happened has happened, and that's it.
Indeed.
But,
indeed.
We're glad that things have worked out. Oh, I think everyone here is in town and well around the county is glad. I know it's been a big cloud over the department. And,
it has. You know. It has. Well, I mean, anytime you got institutional knowledge,
sure.
You know, it makes it hard to move forward because the people that you install because of political reasons don't have the same experience.
Right. Yeah.
And I know that it's hard when you're
sure.
not when they don't necessarily support you as a person.
Sure.
Because
right.
you beat
yeah,
the person.
Right, yeah.
But their knowledge is so valuable that
right.
it's not smart to get rid of.
Sure. You don't go in and just blanket everybody out simply
exactly.
because they didn't vote for you because you don't because
yeah.
you don't like them.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Or you heard something about them, which
oh, yeah.
more than likely is not true.
Exactly.
I want to say something right here, and Lauren, I was talking. A lot of you that listen, you see me on Facebook. You see me every week in public. And I made a post yesterday over the treatment of Donald Trump's youngest son, Barron Trump. I believe his name is Barron, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
Ladies Barron. And gentlemen, leave that young man alone, please. This young man.
Amen.
Thank you. This young man has done nothing except be born. He's been born into a family of wealth and privilege. He didn't ask for that. He didn't ask that his father took on this role. And for people to post things about him, about his health or about his being or whatever, this little boy has done nothing to you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And he's not going to. And I'm sure if he has health issues, I'm sure his mother and father will provide the very best for him. I have a feeling that the man does have that much money.
Exactly.
And he's got a whole lot of contacts in New York City. And probably around the world. So I would just ask, and I put on my post, Laura, I said, you know, I'm asking, and quite frankly, I'm expecting everyone, you know, and I'll tell you up front, you know, if I see you out in public, you know, you're going to participate in behavior like that? That young man has done nothing to you. He didn't ask for this.
No.
He did not ask for it. And I think that's just pretty low when you do children that way. And we've seen this with the Bush daughters. We've seen it with the Obama daughters. To some degree, it started with Chelsea Clinton, I think, you know, and, you know, with her father's behavior in the White House. Let's not forget that. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
And
really, and really the First Lady needs to be, I mean, again.
Understood.
You know, we've had, I don't know. It's just, we've got to look at an opportunity right now to be civil with one another.
Well, that's what this show is. This is the reason I changed course. We've only got just a few seconds left. Laura, all of us always end up talking about the same things.
Always, yes.
I mean, well, a lot of us.
Yes.
You know, there's going to always be some nuts out there. But all of us, regardless of where you stand politically, we all end up talking about the same things. That's the reason for this broadcast. It's the reason it has changed direction. We have got to go. It's been a great hour.
No.
Laura. Oh, got to. No. Dalton's going to. Hey, we officially lose
Bye.
Room at 10. Laura Balling will be back with us in a few weeks. Edwin Lee Raymer for Dalton Barrett here at WGNS, the PI Show. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye.